And that's called perfect parenting. And so God gave me that. I mean, because I never got any of that from my background. I mean, I'm kind of like Chris in my background. I should be an incredibly messed up person, and instead now I'm just messed up, not incredibly messed up. And it's just so cool to see how God will do that. And that's why being able to communicate with him and listen to him and really get to know him and what he's like and be able to enjoy him and then say, I want that for my kid. I want that for my grandchild.
Okay, so I need to finish out what you're doing there, and then I have something else I want to give you. So I told you there was going to be tons of writing this morning. The reason for that is because we are often not very good with words. And Anne talked about how important words are, but it is hard in these places. It is hard to find words. That's why we buy greeting cards, because they already have the words on them. And we don't have to come up with our own words. That's why greeting cards exist. And even for me, I am a wordsmith. I do words. It's what I do. I get totally blocked up when I'm supposed to say the words that really matter. I can't find the words, and I need help. I really need help for somebody to give me words. You know when you're at a wedding and they put that video camera in your face and say something to the bride and groom. Oh, that is the worst. I don't know what to say to the bride and groom. Hi. Yeah. Congratulations. You know, I feel like it's supposed to be deep and meaningful and they're going to be watching it for the next 10 years and I don't know what to say, much less in a situation like this. So we started off with, one of you read what we started off with to me. Mm-hmm. I love you, so-and-so. You mean so much to me, and I love you for who you are. And then you list who they are. And then I just want to give you some words to finish that. And that this may sound like, oh, my goodness, that's just getting, oh, whatever. But I want to give you words to finish it, because if you get stuck for words, we often don't do the thing that our heart actually does want to do, just because we don't have words. So if you need words, here are some. I wanted to let you know this because I'm not sure if I've ever said this to you, and I don't want this to go unsaid. I wanted to say this to you because I'm not sure if I've ever put this into words for you, and I don't want it to go unsaid.
Chris, if your dad had said that to you, do you know how it would make you feel? Or is that so unbelievably far-fetched? Or could you tell us how it would make you feel?
If he'd done just this one thing.
Actually, so after, during my years of realizing Dad was not going to come to me, I'm smart enough to know that my flourishing and my son's flourishing depends on my ability to, first of all, forgive, and second of all, to get what I need from another resource. And so the question that you asked was, how would it make you feel? So I did get what I needed from another resource. There were this list on the wall is I would go to God and I'd say, God, how do you feel about me? And he would, in my time with him, he would he developed my image as an identity as a daughter, and he began to speak these things into me. And as I forgave my father for what he didn't do and what he did do that was damaging, I was able to go to him and with good boundaries create opportunities where he might be able to speak something in my life. And at first I had high expectations as I was thinking, God, and I'd be praying, God, do something in his life. And I'd go and quite often I would be disappointed again and I'd think, I can't believe I put my heart out there. And I'd forgive him again. And God would say, I want you to keep doing this. I want you to keep doing this. And so I would create opportunities of safety to say, Dad, I really appreciate the things that you have put in my life. And I would name those positive things. Hope that he would respond. And almost 4 years ago, I went to Oklahoma, and my dad was 94 at the time, and I thought, I bet I'm not going to see my father again. So before I drove to Oklahoma, I stopped at his house briefly, and I said, Dad, I'm going, and I don't know if I'm going to see you again. And I said, I love you, and again, I want to thank you for the good things that you put in my life. And I said, would you give me a daughter's blessing? And he kind of looked at first like a deer in the headlight, but I gave him something that he could do. And suddenly he thought, oh. And he came over to me and he put his head on my his hand on my head. And he said, Chris, I love you. He said, Chris, you're amazing. He said, Chris, I bless you with flourishing. I bless you with love and finding the desires and dreams of your heart. I bless you with prosperity. And my father's very articulate, and he went on for a while. And then he gave me a new name, and he said, you have always been my child of God girl. And then we walked out to my car, and he has a long driveway, and he's never done this ever before. And as I drove off, the whole time he watched and he waved until I was out of sight. And that was God's gift, and I think God's transformation of him. And so the life that he put in me as a result created those things he spoke. And I felt things begin to blossom, although God had already spoken many things. The power of a father or an authority figure. A father's supposed to give identity. A father's supposed to protect. And a father is supposed to provide. And as a girl, those three things he did not do. He put me in danger. He asked me to provide for myself. And he never spoke over me. But God restored that, so it was powerful.
Thank you. I think that is so encouraging. And I hope this doesn't come out wrong, Chris. I think that's so sad that you had to pursue him for 30 years to get one final last thing. And I hope none of y'all are saying, I got an amazing daughter, an amazing son, and I bet you they can coach me on how to impart life to them. I mean, wouldn't that be sad? And so just because you don't know what to do, that's not okay. And we want to help you. And, I have many parents that what I'm saying is because I've been with so many people dying, and when they know they're dying and they don't quite die, astounding things can happen. But what about the ones that die suddenly? They don't get to do that. And again, kind of like the anorexia analogy, why do you want to starve your children? Why do you want to deprive them of that which will give them life and enable them to flourish and blossom, and no one else can do it other than their Heavenly Father? Why would we want to do that? And so this is kind of spurring on within me, if you can't tell. This is something I want to do. I want all of us to finish strong, but I want us to, the things that you wrote down, if your child has never heard them before, you know, let's lavish them instead of, okay, maybe I'll say just this one thing. I mean, God lavishes me with talking life into my life, telling me who I am, why I mean so much to him, what I do that touches his heart, not just his approval. And so, therefore, he's changed me because my goal in life, and I hope this doesn't come out wrong, it really isn't to obey God. My goal in life is to please him. And if I please him, obviously I'm going to obey him. But that's what I want. I want to bring my Father pleasure, and when I do it, what He gives me is so much more than the fact that I was able to please God and honor Him by doing that. And so I want to impart that to my children. I want to impart this to other people close to my age and say, let's excel right now at loving our kids and imparting blessings to them and telling them who they are and telling them how much we love them and then expressing things that you'd say, you know, I don't know that I've ever said this before. And say, okay, next time we do an exercise like this, you say, I don't know. See, I don't know what I would tell my daughter that she's never heard before that I don't want to go and say it. And the day my granddaughter was born, I wrote her an extended letter, and Letty wrote her an extended letter, and saying, let me tell you how much you mean to me today. And at graduations and things like that, that I'm just not going to take a chance on missing something. And I want to impart life now so my daughter, my granddaughter, my son-in-law flourish and blossom. Does that make sense? And I want to lavish them because God lavishes me with it. You know, there's times I'm saying, Lord, I know. He said, I know, but you need to hear it today. Do you understand? And He does it so well. So let's lavish our children and our grandchildren with how much they mean to us because of who they are. And let's tell them who they are because so many times they really don't know who they are. And a lot of what they're hearing, especially if you're a girl in middle school, what you're hearing who you are is not even close to the truth. And who's doing that? Tell me who's doing that in their life, telling them in a customized fashion, perfectly fit for them, exactly who they are in a way that they begin to believe. Tell me who's doing that, or what TV station or what movie's doing that. And if we're not doing it, who do we really think is going to do that? I'm sorry.
You can tell this is, like I said, this is close to Buddy's heart. And the reason for this does give life. This will change a family's legacy. I remember one grandmother saying to me, I don't know if I ever heard my grandparents tell me they loved me, directly, flat out. I'm not sure I ever heard that. I do remember one thing my grandmother said to me at one point when I was a senior in high school, and I've hung on to that for, 40 years now? 30, 40 years? Getting old, buddy. But it meant so much to me to have her speak that into my life. So we've kind of given you a format. And again, it's just because we need words so often. So I want to give you how to deliver the words now. Because I do want these words to go somewhere. And so you can email or you can call up and you can say something like this. Last week at church, they had this team in, and we did this thing on Friday morning, and they asked us to do this. And once I had this down, I realized I really want to say this to you, so here it is. And it gives you a way to say it without you feeling like, well, if I just come out of the blue with this, they're going to think I've gone crazy down here in Panama.
Or that I'm getting ready to die.
Yeah, or that I'm getting ready to die. Yeah. So use this context as a way of saying what your heart wants to say anyway. Just use this and do that. So you saw me over here making some notes. It's because I said to myself, we're giving a lot of information and I'm asking you to write it down, but it's also hard to capture it all. So I wrote a note to myself that says, write this up as a blog entry and get this exercise up and out there so people can have it and they don't have to just take notes with it, because I'm going to give you one more piece of it now. And we've been alluding to this the whole time, but I want you actually to do this. And this is to take that same format and let God use that to speak to you. Let your Heavenly Father use that to speak to you. So it would be Elaine. The Father would be saying, Elaine, I love you so much, and I want to tell you that. I want you to know who you are and how I see you. And I'm giving you that format because sometimes unless somebody says, I can go to God and I can ask Him to fill in the blanks of that, we don't think that's something we can do, and we don't even think God's going to be that good or He would say those kind of things to us. So I'm saying this is what the Father loves to do, is to come to his kids and say, I love you, and let me tell you who you are. Okay, so I just got to throw this in. So as I began working on communicating with God and getting to know him better, I began keeping a list of everything that God was. And mine's alphabetical. So awesome, worthy of adoration, all the way down to high and holy and just and kind and a shepherd and loving. And every time I was aware of something new about God, I added it to my list. And I have it on a computer file, and it's called Connie's List of Who God Is. And so I add it on there, and if I do a Bible study on it, I add the words in there, and I've got, I don't know, it's a huge list by now. And that just helps me marinate in who God is, because I want to be accurate about who he is. Well, partway through doing this, I was talking with God one day, and an attribute of his came up, and so I went to add it to my list, and I sensed him saying, if you're going to make a list of me, I get to make a list of you. And I was just so intimidated. He's like, I want God's list of who Connie is. And so he began speaking to me about who I was and how he saw me. And every once in a while after that, he'd say, as he was blessing me with something, he would say, add that to your list. And so I have a running list of who God says Connie is. He delights to do that with his kids.
That wasn't easy for you to do either, was it?
Oh, man. It's hard to get loved. It really is. And then it gets easy, and then you get really greedy for it, and you get ruined, and then it gets a whole lot easier. So, yeah, it's easy.
And I do want to say also, I have many of you have a list of feeling words. If you want to tell your child how you feel about them, I have a list of character traits. So if you say, well, I know my kid has all kinds of character traits, but I can't think of it right now, I use that a lot. And personality, positive things about personality that if you want, if you let, let's not do Brian. Jane, if
or
Jane
you
can
could,
get that to you.
You could check Connie's blog and maybe it would be there.
Is it there?
Not yet,
dog?
But maybe it would
oh,
go
okay,
there.
Okay. Because that really does help. Matter of fact, I think I want to tell you this. I don't know if I want to tell you this. When I'm going to do baby dedication or when I'm doing a wedding and I really want to get God's perspective on this baby or how he wants me to pray for this baby or what it is about mom and dad that I want to make sure is imparted or I'm doing a wedding, I pull out those lists and just go through them and write them down, and then ask God, okay, which do you want me to speak into this wedding, this marriage, this baby dedication, or whatever? And that helps me tremendously. And again, I try not to just trust myself. I want God to show me what he wants me to say. And that's another thing I want to say. If you will ask God, okay, I'm going to do what Buddy said. I'm going to call my kid today and talk to him or her. Lord, what would you have me to say? Do you have any words that I could speak from you to them? Do you think there's any chance God would say, nope, don't have anything to say today? And what if you did that like once a week or once a day? Or can you imagine the heritage you're leaving? Because see, now my daughter does that with my granddaughter all the time. She does what I do with her, she do with the friends that are so dear to her. She said, I just called you up today. You know why I called you? She'll do that with them. And see, and I'm imparting life that's getting passed on to others, and so many people emulate my daughter and say, that is so good, I'm going to start doing that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So probably on that list of people that you have that you'd like to leave a legacy to, there's people who are not your children. You might want to do something like this for them as well, because this people, you know how we rarely we receive this, so you know what an extraordinary gift it is to get something like this. This is a legacy. It truly is to begin to leave with people who they are. I'm going to transition this a little bit. I want to go back to the forgiveness piece with Freddie Cooper. No, we're going to finish this out, because we've given you words to express how much you love. I want to give you words to express, will you forgive me? Because that's the hard conversation. This can be difficult because it might take us places we haven't gone before, but will you forgive me? And it might just be, will you forgive me for working so much when you were in junior high that I really missed those years, and I know that you missed out on me. So it doesn't have to be, will you forgive me for wrecking your life? So it doesn't mean that we're saying that if you need to have forgiveness, it has to be that you're just this terrible, horrible parent. There's just probably areas of forgiveness that you might want to ask for. So we need words for that. And Buddy, you gave us a little bit of those words when you were telling Freddie, here's what you need to say. And so you gave us the elements of those. And I don't know if you can remember that or not. Okay, so Buddy, so what I want to do is for Buddy, if you could tell us the elements, like the here's the categories of stuff that you need to talk about. And then we may actually give some specific words to help you say that.
The first is, this is what I did that was so wrong, and this is why that was wrong.
So here is what I did that was wrong, and there's going to be a couple sentences there.
And you need to say that really well, especially men. We say, you know, I just wasn't what I should have been or something like that. You need to say, and if any of you are going to do this, and you say, I think I'm going to do a lot of this over the rest of my life, and I want good skills, I would love for you, before you email it to your kids, run it by me. And you say, I don't have time to do that. I have time to do that. Because in six or seven times of trying, your skills will gigantically increase. So I'd love to help you do that. And be able to say it well, because you're not admitting a wrong, you're imparting life. And when someone has been damaged by their parent and you say, this is what I did, and they say, that's exactly what you did. I have nothing to add. They feel known, they feel understood, they feel like you got them, and you're wounded by it. If that's what they need. Not just a general, you know, I didn't do that very well, did I? Do you understand? That imparts life, because and especially if you ask God to give you the words, and he gives you words that your child would say, how in the world did you come with that? You've never said anything like that your whole life. That imparts life.
So let's go back to my example of the parent who is working during the child's junior high years. So I'm sorry that I worked so much when you were in junior high. That's the generic, vague stuff. I'm sorry for? Is that how you would start out? Or I want to tell you,
this is what I did.
This is what I did. When you were in junior high.
I put my priorities on working and making money so I could provide well for you and your sisters and brothers and your mother, and that was wrong.
I put that over you, and I chose other things on top of you, and that was wrong.
Yeah, and that's nothing.
Then you just took it away.
Yeah, you took it away. So it's
you can say
this is why I did it, and that now I clearly see that was so wrong. And I want to break that pattern that was passed down from my dad to me. I do not want to go any farther. What I did was wrong. What I should have done was this. And I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? I mean, that's the real simple version.
If you understand the hurt that you caused, you can actually put words to, I know that I hurt you, and I know that I caused this to happen. It's what the counselor was asking Chris's dad to say to her, that he just couldn't understand how he could possibly have hurt Chris. He had no awareness of the damage or hurt that might have caused.
Yeah, if you can say, I suspect that made you feel unloved, unimportant, insignificant in my life. Maybe it made you feel like there's something wrong with you. That would be normal. And if I've done that to you, that tears me up. But this is what I did that was wrong. And if you want to talk about it, I'd love to talk about it. And so putting down feeling words along that, I suspect this would make you feel this way. And again, write down all the feeling words you think and then ask God to let you pick from the list. So you get the ones that are really going to hit your child right in the heart. They're going to feel known. Not many children feel like their parents really know and understand who they are. Do y'all know that? I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I'm not going to make you raise your hands, but how many of you would say, my parents really knew me and understood me? I mean, my parents didn't have a clue. Matter of fact, both my parents died not ever knowing who I was and what makes me tick and what I'm like. Isn't that amazing?
So, Buddy, how would you finish that once you've said all that? How would you close that, the forgiveness part?
I would not make it, you know, I mean, I think especially men think we got to write a whole big letter. I would make it short and sweet, to be honest with you. I'd say, this is what I did. This was wrong. This is why it was wrong. This is what I should have done. I am so sorry. And you can embellish that a little bit. It grieves me because I know it probably caused you to feel this way, and nothing could be further from the truth. Will you forgive me? If it were me, I would be writing, I'm really asking you, will you forgive me? Even though perhaps I don't deserve it. And then I would say, I love you so much, mom or dad, or grandpa or grandma. And I'd make it simple. But if the more you do that, then the more life you can impart. If you said, okay, I'll do it all once and get it over with so I don't have to do this again, that's not going to impart near as much life.
And again, use this weekend as the, quote, excuse to open this conversation. They were doing this with us at church last weekend. We went through it, so I wanted to do this with you. Because sometimes we just need a way to start the conversation. And I noticed we've been talking about doing it in writing, and I just switched to doing the conversation. What would be the difference in doing it on the phone versus in writing?
I would, if I get to have my way, I would insist it be written. And then you ask God, should I send it? Should I speak it? And then after you do that, you'd send it. So you would give God maximum opportunity to speak it, send it, but they end up with paper that hopefully they'll keep that has, like Chris finally got when her dad was 94, your children get right now, and they're going to remember it. And then if you keep doing those sort of things, that's what they're going to do to your grandchildren. See, a whole lot of my motivation was I want to parent my grandchild. I really did want to parent my grandchild because I would do it best. And when I realized, I really kind of, Letty, isn't that true? I kind of started out that way. And when I realized I couldn't do it, you know, I wanted to impart all these things to my daughter so she was so full it would flow out of her to my granddaughter.
So, yeah, questions. Gina? We have thrown a lot at you.
I just want to comment that having things in writing that are special, you'll end up keeping in your Bible.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So the comment that was having it in writing that are special, you end up keeping that. It ends up really mattering to you. Questions about all that we've kind of put into words, because this is not a simple thing, and that's why we wanted to just get so basic as to say, here's some words to help you begin to generate the legacy that you really do want to generate. Yes, Steve.
How would we change this discussion?
So the question is, yeah, we've been talking about children, but some of the people on Steve's legacy list were friends. So how would this shift for friends? I'm going to say the first thing, and then you can jump in. But the first thing is those words of, I don't think I've ever told you how much and why you're so important to me, and here's what I see in you. So it's that same format we use for the children, but you're using it to express to your friend why that person matters to you and what you see in them. So it's a very similar format.
Yeah, I've gotten to do that. It was interesting. Since I've been in Panama, there's been people from literally 50 years ago God's brought to my mind. And I'll just say... You know, I don't even know if you'll remember me, but, you know, we were this and that or whatever, and God brought you to my mind, and there's some things I wanted to share that he asked me to share with you. You don't think that'll get their attention? And you say, well, I can't do that. Maybe they're not a Christian. Okay, do you want to maybe say it in a way that they might say, what were you talking about? What did you do? You know, the thing is, I want people to know how much they mean to me and how I feel about them. And y'all hear me say all the time how remarkable I think you are and what it is about you that I so deeply appreciate. I want that to be something I do every single day of my life. I'm going to lavish you with it. I'm not going to starve you with it. And I want us to do that with, like Steve said, everyone on the list. And why not do it now? Blame me if you want. Say, here's what my pastor asked me to do, and I couldn't. And I knew he was going to ask me, did I do it? So I have to do it. Do that if you want.
Other questions? There was one. Yes. A form letter that you're just sending out to all of them. Yeah, yeah. So the question is, if you have multiple grandchildren, especially in one family, you don't want to just look like you just filled in the blanks and just sent them a form letter for all of them. You might ask God, how can I switch this up to make it customized to this grandchild? Or maybe you'll choose, okay, at their next birthday, this is when they're all going to get. So one by one at their birthday, they're going to get this from me. So I would ask God for some customized ways to make each grandchild feel special, because he does that with us. So he'll help you do that with those grandchildren up here.
Yeah. How would you ask for forgiveness to somebody that already died?
That has already died? How do you ask forgiveness for someone who's already died? You got to talk to the Lord and tell him. And say, you know, Father, I regret that I can't say this to this person. I'm going to just trust you with it. You know them. And see, a lot of times when we ask forgiveness, we need to do it for our sake. I have literally asked forgiveness from someone, and they've looked at me, have you lost your mind? Of course no. No, no way, no how. I need to do that for me because that's what God wants me to do. And then I need to ask God to help me heal, because now that you've opened this wound up, God, I want to make restitution. I want to make connection. I want them to know my sorrow. Will you kind of help me deal with this now? But give me words to speak. I want to do it excellently because I want to do everything you want me to do, whether I can see a use in it or not.
Yeah, and I think that point, even of just saying, because one of the questions that would come to me, buddy, is let's say we do have someone that we say, I'm going to ask forgiveness, and you are pretty sure that person is going to look at you and go, blankety blank, no. Yeah. And so, then what?
Well, that we do it because God says we do it. Not we don't do it because we think there'll be good come out of it. And, well, again, so many of you don't know me. I've told stories, and so forgive me if you've heard this too many times, but I cannot tell you how many times I have done something that God wanted me to do that I knew would go horrible, and it went horribly, more horrible than I thought, only to have 7, 9, 12, 15 years later, someone to say, you probably don't remember me. And I'm saying, no, I think I do remember you. Do you remember what happened in your office? Yeah, I do. Well, all these years I thought, I have to contact you and tell you what God did with that. Let me tell you how my marriage is different now. Let me tell you, and it's like, you got to be kidding, because that was one of my worst days of that whole year. And I knew you hated me and would probably tell everyone you hated me and what a terrible counselor or pastor I was. And sometimes they did. But that's the point. We got to do what God tells us to do, even though there's no chance any good could come of it. Do you understand? Because we're trusting him. We're following him. We're not doing what we think is best. And we're not letting our finite, limited mind keep us from doing something that will impart life just because we don't get to see life imparted right then when we do it. Do you understand?
And remember, if you do this kind of thing into a situation that's difficult, even if you're trying to express love to a child that you feel like has some resentment built up against you and doesn't really want to hear the love that you want to express, because that can happen too, don't go in alone, meaning don't go on your own in this. Make sure that you talk to your Father, your Heavenly Father, first before you do this, so that the well done doesn't depend on how the other person responds. It depends on God. And so that you're able to hear your Father's well done no matter how the other person responds to you. Because that's where you don't get further damaged or something further happen to you. Because you do want to be able to hear your Father's well done. I know that was excruciatingly hard, and it took every bit of courage in you. And I just want to say, we tend to think that men are the ones who especially need courage to do this kind of thing because they don't do it. Well, we women often need a whole lot of courage to do this too. So this isn't like, oh, well, women can just do this with no problem. We need courage, and we need the Father to go in with us so we can go back and we can hear him say, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you that you responded to that person as if you were my kid in my family, not as if you were the kid in the family you grew up in and responding out of what your parents would do, but you showed me. You were in my family, and that's how we do this in my family. That's how we do this.
Yeah, I also want to say that one other advantage of writing down what you want to say is you get to, then you can ask God, when's the best time to say it? Because, see, there's things the Holy Spirit's done in you today that's really jarred you, unsettled you, and you've got to do something. And so our assumption is we've got to do it tonight or tomorrow. We can write it out today or tomorrow, but then we can ask God, when do I say this? When do I give this? When do I impart this? Because some of our children, the way they feel about us right now, they're probably going to tear it up before they even read it. And so we got to ask God how to do it and when to do it. But writing it out, you've done that part of it, and that's a huge part, and the change you'll feel is huge. And again, like Connie said, you'll get to hear, if you listen, you'll get to hear your father just tell you how much that means to him that you followed him, got so far out of your comfort zone, and did something that you now are afraid someone else is going to find it and read it, that you did that for him and for his sake. He'll love on you like crazy.
Other questions? Yes. Oh, the question was about blogging and how you do that. Let's talk about that afterwards.
I don't know how either, so don't feel bad, Sharon.
Is she asking how to access it?
Oh, are you asking how to access my blog?
Yeah,
oh, so sign up on that list I sent around, and you'll get the post in your email box. Any other questions? Thank you for translating that. Yes.
Just kind of a comment. As far as writing things down, I totally agree with that. But I do have a situation, family situation, that if I were to write it down and give it written form, email, whatever, my experience tells me the person receiving it will take what I wrote, totally twist it, and use it against me.
So the question is, if the person has it in writing, they're going to put their own twist on it and use it against you. So what would you do then?
Well, again, we ask God, what do you want me to do with this? Now that I've written it down and I know this is what you want said or communicated or me to express, now what form should it take? And you don't assume anything. And you don't assume when it should be done. And if you really are clueless and don't think you're hearing from God, then you ask someone that's really good at doing this. You can certainly ask me. Yeah, a word aptly spoken. How does that verse go? A word in Proverbs?
It's like apples of gold in settings of silver.
Yeah, and see, we can't appreciate some of that picture, but to the ancient Christians, our believers in Jesus, believers in the Messiah, that was like, that's the most valuable thing you could know. So a word aptly spoken, not a word spoken that needs to be spoken, a word aptly, timely, said in the right manner is as important as what needs to be said. And so we got to trust God and allow him to do that. We want him to give us his words. See, that's another thing, Rich. If we ask God, you give me your words you want spoken, you tell me how you want those spoken or delivered and when to do it, then I'm going to do it. I don't care what happens after that. And if it's bad, I mean, if you really want to, I can give you personal stories where what I did, what God wanted me to do, you won't believe it. One time I really thought I was going to be killed. I really did, by a guy that, a giant of a man that rode a Harley. And he told me after we started counseling about six times that he'd just been released from prison for manslaughter. And so I just want you to know God knows all this. You don't need to know it all. And he will protect you in ways that you can't imagine. But he will bless things that you give sacrificially to harm you. People use it against you and harm you great for great things a year, two, 5 years from now. Are you willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pay the price?
And that's where I would also just jump in and say, we're that kind of thing where you know you can stir something up and you do need to get God's perspective and input and timing and creativity, that can be kind of intimidating to start like, well, I'm not even sure I hear God's voice, much less all that. So there's people in this church who can help you. I would say in a situation like that, don't go it alone. Really, reach out to others. Let them help you discern. Let them help you pray about it. Let them help you listen to God. Just let them help you. This is I think one of the reasons we wanted to do this with all of you at the same time is we're starting a conversation that you all can keep having. So that now you've all heard this and we've all kind of done this together and you can keep having this conversation. Just like Jim and Sari last fall when they were teaching you freedom principles, you're going to recognize in some of the stuff we're talking about this morning, things that you heard them talk about. So it's kind of building together so that you're not on your own trying to do this just out, trying to figure it out. You're now among a community of people who you can help each other do this.
And I'd like to challenge y'all, and I really would, because I make statements, and sometimes they're a little bit exaggerated or overstated. I'd really like to ask y'all, because some of y'all like a challenge and make me have to take something back. So I want to challenge you to help me think through, if I spoke words that will bring healing, if I speak words that will impart life, if I speak words so my child begins to see who they really are, if I speak words letting them know how much they mean to me and it sinks deep within, I want you to tell me what greater legacy you could leave than that. So if you say, I'm going to give them $1 million, help me understand why $1 million would be better than that. So if we're doing legacy, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, I really want to ask you to be critical, you know, do critical thinking. Come after me and say, this would be better than that. And if that is best, we better do it. And if we say, we'll do that when it's time, it's probably going to not happen. So let's do it now. Let's start doing it now and passing it on now.
And I'm listening to Buddy, knowing that passion comes out of, like I said, for him walking through the process of people who really were out of time. And it was very clear medically that they were out of time. And it had to happen. So I would join this what we, I know what we've talked about can be really intimidating. I get it. There's a rich legacy sitting here. And Stephen, even as you talked about friends, I thought of a friend of mine that I have been out of contact with, and I need to do this with her and for her because she's dear to me, and I don't know that she knows that. So that's a good reminder. So I want to pray for us. We have Brian walked in at just the right time. So Brian may have an announcement about lunch. I'm not sure, but I do want to pray for us, and I want to bless us. So Father, would you take all these words that we've spoken and the tools that we've given, and would you begin to just speak to the people who are here and say this part and this part and this part, and here's how we'll do it, and we'll do it together. And God, I would ask if they're feeling confused or they don't know or they're not sure, that you would connect them with people that they can talk to and that they can get more information from. And Father, I would also ask if there's anybody here who's feeling guilty almost to the point of condemned for the fact that they haven't done this and they're a bad parent or a bad friend or a bad person because they haven't done this. I would ask that you would lift, that you would leave the challenge in front of them, but you would lift off any false guilt or any shame, and that you would simply bring your heart, and that the challenge to do this is probably real, but if there's any shame attached to it, that you would remove that. And if there's any sense of failure or I can't or it's impossible or this is hopeless, that you would remove that as well, and that you would bring your hope and your life and your care into all their thoughts. And God, those people on their list that they have said, here's the legacy, Here's the people I want to leave a legacy to. God, I would ask that you would give them the courage to say, and I'm going to take this whatever step you're putting in front of them to leave this legacy, that those people would experience a different kind of blessing because of what we're doing here this weekend, that there would just be something that changes in family dynamics, even with what Ann said of this ends with me, that we look at it and say, this ends with me, and from here the Heavenly Father's blessing is going to flow from me to my children, to my grandchildren, to my neighbors, to my friends, even to people here in the church, that this the negative ends with us, and you begin to impart life through us to these people that we so deeply care about. Father, thank you so much for this. And as we go out here, and as we go and eat together, I would thank you for the food that you provided and for the lunch, and I would just ask that our conversations for here would be the kind that encourage, that build up, and that give each other courage to do the things that your heart would have for us to do. Amen. And Brian, do you have any announcements? Did everybody hear that? $7, sugar and spice sandwiches, various sandwiches, and give your money to Scott. And there's salad and pasta salad inside. Salad and pasta salad inside.
And if someone really cannot afford that, would like to eat, go eat.
And if you can't afford that and you want to eat, go eat.